Today is a sermon titled, I Must Decrease. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me this morning, it's a scripture that you're all so very, very familiar with, 2 Timothy and chapter 3. And we're going to leave it from time to time, but we are going to come back to it if you want to save your place or look on the overhead. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into the households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In the last days before Christ's return, these are the things that will be evident in society in which we live in today. And every one of these symptoms that are outlined are related or connected to verse 2, for people will become lovers of self. When you look at verse 2 again, for men will be lovers of themselves. Self-worship in our world is at an epidemic proportion. My wants, my desires, my will be done on earth as I want it to be. In verse 4, it talks about lovers of pleasure are lovers of self. In verse 5, it talks about, oh, they pretend to be godly, but their motivation is what? Their motivation is self-love. In verse 7, they are always learning, but never are able to come to the truth. Why? Because self-love stands in the way of them submitting their life to the Lord Jesus. Self-love has a stranglehold in the church of America today. It's not God's will be done, it's my will be done. And I know best, and I know what needs to be done, and I know how to run this operation, and it will be done the way that I want it to be done. In a society of self-love, a church that is preaching the truth of God's word will be looked upon as a threat to society. You today, as a church-believing, gospel-believing church that believes the word, stands on the word, and proclaims the word of God, and holds truth to the scripture, you are a threat to society in many people's eyes today, and I believe that that is going to continue to grow. In the liberal churches of America, we are the Puritans. We are the separatists. We are looked upon with disdain, and because we stand for the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. A high percentage of churches in America have gone into apostasy. What does the word mean, apostasy? Because according to Webster, the abandoning of what one believed in faith. Many of the churches, in the churches in America today, the founding fathers would stand up out of the grave and shout, no, this is not what we have proclaimed in our church. Ichabod in the scripture means the glory has left. In many churches in America, spiritually, Ichabod is written above the door. The glory of God has left the building, because they are no longer seeking the truth of the Scripture and the seeking of the Holy Spirit. I remember, and I had not heard the word Ichabod when I was younger in my faith, but I remember a lady in our church said that what was going on in the church was terrible, and she said that when she walked outside of that church, she looked up at the eve of the church, and it was like the Holy Spirit was writing Ichabod in the Spirit. The glory of God had left this place. no longer was the glory of God residing in this place. I know that our church is different than many of which many of you have grown up in, maybe many of you that have had for years and years and years, but I'll tell you, at Crossroads Gospel Church, I can feel the glory of God. We need the glory of God more than anything else. We need His presence. We need His revelation. We need His moving in each and every one of our lives. A church without His presence, without His inspiration, without His glory, we are holding nothing but an empty bag. Do we get the message here today? It's all about God, it's not about you, and it's not about me. As a pastor, my job is to move obstacles out of the way so God can move on the behalf of His people. The church is not about me, it's not about you, it's about God and His glory. Here in 2 Timothy, I shared all the symptoms in verse 1 through 7 are related to verse 2. And when you look at verse 2, the thing that we pointed to is that for men will be lovers of themselves. People will become lovers of themselves. You remember when a handshake used to be good enough? Well, it's not good enough anymore. You need a contract, and you need four or five lawyers that are standing behind it, ready to come to your defense. But we are going to narrow this down even further to one word in verse 2. And if we read a little further in verse 2, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." And the word that was pointed out that I want to point out to you today is the word pride. Pride. Satan wanted to exalt himself to be like the Most High. Satan's sin was a sin of pride. And because he fell, because of the sin of pride, he wants everyone else to follow in his footsteps, and he wants the sin of pride attached to your name. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, because we're going to see how this all took place and what he was trying to do. So Satan fell because of pride. He wants everybody else to fall, and he wants everyone else to have pride attached to their life. So when you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die. For God knows,'" now listen to the words, "'For God knows that in the days you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" You will be like God. So what was he trying to do? Of course, he was trying to get Eve to fall in sin, but he wanted to get pride attached to her. The sin of pride. And we don't think too often or too much in the church today how many people actually struggle with pride. But it's more evident and it's more relevant than you would ever think that it would be. Look at Jesus' temptation in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. So let's go to Matthew 4 and verse 8. In Matthew 4, in verse 8, we won't read the whole temptation, but you know that in verse 1 it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And when you go to verse 8, because he's passing all these temptations in front of him, "Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.'" All of these things. Jesus, in pride, could have lifted himself up and said, "Yes, I want all of these things. I want all these things that are available to me." How many people in the world today are saying, "I want all of these things that are available to me," that they have been lifted up by pride? You will be like God. Now turn with me to 1 John. In 1 John, you've heard me refer to this many, many times as the mechanics of sin. So we go to 1 John, and we go to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, We go to verse 15. It says, do not love. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So when we talk about sin, we see that one of these categories, if not all three of them, are involved every time. And it all has to do with pride. It's something I want. So when you look at verse 16 again, he says, for all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh, number two, the lust of the eyes, and number three, the pride of life. When we see those three categories that are listed there, that we would be lifted up by pride, that we would want to attain those things and have those things, we see that that was the same presentation that was given to Eve, and it was the same presentation that was given to Jesus. In your life, any time that you're involved in sin or you're being tempted by sin, one, if not all three of these categories will be involved at the same time. Self-love is connected. Let me say that again. Self-love is connected to pride. What I want is above everything else. So we go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We go back to verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. I believe there is a warning here for the church today, and I believe it was a warning then for the church of the day then. We can be harsh towards others, but never look at ourselves. I can really be harsh at other churches because I see what they have done to congregations. I've seen what the leadership has done to their congregations, and I've seen leadership that has walked away from the Word of God, gone into apostasy, and they're asking the congregation to go right along with them. That really grieves me, and it really irritates me, but it's not only that. When I look at the Scripture, I need to look at myself. That the warnings for all of us, be careful in what you do or it will become about you and not God. How many preachers have we seen that have gone that direction? God's anointing was so strong on their life. God was using them in a wonderful and a magnificent way. And all of a sudden, it became where it was no longer about God, but it was all about them. Now turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 26. John chapter 3, verse 26. In John chapter 3, verse 26, it says, and they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Talking to John the Baptist, talking about Jesus. And John the Baptist, in verse 27, said, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said that I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. And he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Hallelujah. Is that who you are? Many have said, wow, when I've talked to people outside of the church, man, you have done a great work at Crossroads Gospel Church. I am amazed by what you and Carol have done. And I always back them up and I say, it is nothing that Carol and Leo has done. It is all by the grace of God. This is a work that God has done. Man has done nothing. And I have done nothing. God has done it all. In what you're doing right now, what is it you are doing that you would say in that situation or in your life or what you're doing, would you say that I must decrease so he can increase? Some people will do nothing in the church unless they can get applause for it. You know what that is? That's pride. Are you willing to do things in secret so God can reward you openly? Or does it have to be about you? And if it has to be about you, they call that pride. People are drawn to Jesus if he is lifted up, not you. Because if you are the one that's lifting yourself up, that's called pride. We as a church family must always love each other, must accept each other, must nurture each other. We must care for one another as never before in a world of turmoil that we live in today. There is no second-class citizens in Crossroads Gospel Church. We're all children of God, and we all belong on this platform as much as Pastor Leo does. Amen. Because it's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about the pastor. It's not about this. It's not about that. May Jesus be lifted up for to be drawn to. Yes, the warning is for all of us today. If you let pride have an inch, it will consume your life. It did the adversary. One last scripture today before we close. Turn with me to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, we go to verse 37. We'll start at verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love God and love others. In both of these categories, you, number one, put God first. Number two, you put others first. Where are you? You are last. It's not about you. It's about God and it's about everybody else. It's not about you. It's not about Pastor Leo. It's not about Pastor Carol. It's not about us. It's about God. And another thing is, you're first. I give you first. I serve you first. I love you first. I'm second. I'm way on down the list. And we all need to have that attitude in every one of our lives. And God will be lifted up. Did you know when you became married, it became all about the other? The spouse. Them. You love them first. You care for them first. You meet their needs first. Where are you? Last. And if it's not that way, and if you are a lover of self, first, yes, that is pride. We have no room for pride in our life, in our church, or in our marriage. And you and I know it can't be a one-sided affair in the marriage relationship. But we are supposed to come together in a marriage relationship where we love God and we love others. And if I do what God wants me to do, I will love my wife first. I will do for her first. I will make sure her needs are met first before I ever think about meeting my own needs. And if there's a couple that are going through life in that direction with God at the head of the household, there will not be a divorce. But so many times we experience that in people's lives because it's all one-sided. It's me, me, me. And what is that? It's self-love. And what is that related to? It's related to pride. I must decrease so he can increase. If you want a New Year's resolution or you want a motto for Crossroads Gospel Church for 2024, how in my life can I decrease so he will increase? I've had people that's come to this church and they've given me money. They said, I want you to take this and give it to so-and-so. I don't want them to know I give you the money. I said, okay, I can do that. We have people that will bring in groceries. I want to bring these groceries in, but I don't want anybody to know that I did it. I don't want you to announce it. This week I had a load of firewood that was delivered to my house and nobody needed to know about it. They wanted to do it. That's what we need to be. That's how we need to be. And everything that we do is that we put God first and we put others first before ourselves. God wants to bless us. And you've heard me say that many times. Are we putting ourselves in a position where God can bless us? And when I submit and I do something in secret, God is going to bless us openly. This week, I had a check come in the mail. I didn't even know who the person was. And I opened the check, and it was a check for $1,000. Pastor Leo, we want to give this to the church. You see, it's used wherever that you want to do, whatever that you need for it to be. And it's like, if you do things in secret in your relationship with the Lord, and you love God, and you love others, God is going to bless you. You talk about 2 + 2 = 4, do it in secret, and God will bless you openly. Hallelujah. We want to be a blessed people. Amen? Amen. And I want God to bless you over and abundantly. Amen. Over and abundantly. How can I decrease so He can increase? Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank You, Father, for Your presence and Your nearness. And we thank You for Your Word. And we praise You forevermore. I ask over this congregation, You would keep us safe this week if there's those that have to be on the road. And I pray that You would open the windows of heaven. You'd pour out blessings upon each and every one of them. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.